but we'll sell them for whatever we paid for them. James chapter number 1. Did you get it, brother? No. James chapter 1 and verse number 17. When you're there, say amen. James chapter 1, verse 17. We've been going over the home and looking at some things that should be seen in a Christian's home. In the first week, we looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that everything else that we're covering is kind of under that heading of Christ. But He needs to be seen in our home. And we looked a couple weeks ago on love needs to be seen in our home. It's something that should be seen. And the third thing we're going to look at today, we looked at the Bible last time. Did we look at that one yet? All right, the Bible needs to be seen in our home. All right, so we're going to look at two verses here, James chapter number 1 and verse number 17. Actually, I'm going to cover the next one and go back and do the Bible next week because I studied the wrong one. All right, James chapter 1, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." If we're going to have anything good in our home, it's going to come from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And He needs to receive all the glory and honor and praise from it. And that needs to be seen and heard in our house. And so I want to talk tonight about prayer should be seen in the home. And this is something else that you think would be obvious that, yes, prayer should be seen in the home. And we shouldn't even have to mention it. But the sad fact is there's a lot of homes in I haven't been in a lot of folks' homes here. I don't see them on a day-to-day basis. I just know of my home and in those things. But there's a lot of homes that, man, there's people that don't even, you know, pray over their meals anymore. And they don't pray before they go to bed. And not to mention spending time in actual prayer. Praying for their children and praying for their wife or their husband and those kind of things. You know, it's hard enough to get people just to pray over their meal anymore. When you're out in public, if you pay attention, it seems like years ago, you could easily catch a family praying over their meal in public, and now it's kind of a rare thing. You still see it every now and again. And there's times that we'll pray over a meal out in public, and somebody will actually come to our table and thank us for doing that. How far have we come to where people have to come up and thank you for praying for your meal? They ought to see that at every table. I tell you what, even a lost person should thank God for they're still breathing and walking around. They should even thank God that they're able to eat or anything. God should get all the glory and praise. You say, well, they're not even saved. It don't matter. They need to thank God anyway. Amen. Everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord and give Him thanks. But this is something that should be seen in the home. So the children should hear their mother and father pray for them. They should hear them being prayed over. They should hear them praying for one another. They should hear them praying for things. And now, there might be certain things that you're praying about that the kids don't need to know about. Amen. And so, you know, they don't need to hear you praying, oh God, we're going to starve to death. And they don't need to worry about that. That's between you and the Lord. Amen. They don't need that burden on them. There's many a times growing up that I told y'all this before. And again, all my illustrations are just the ones I lived with. And there's many a times that we sat down and ate, and my mom and dad didn't eat anything. And I was wondering, did you get it? We're going to get it. Amen. Somebody comes in here not knowing there's a fly, they're going to think we went Pentecostal on everybody. Growing up, I remember times where we would eat, but they wouldn't. And we just thought, well, maybe they're not hungry. But the fact was, they didn't have it. But we never knew that. Amen. And I think that was a good thing. We're going to do the wave here in a second. It'll be all right. It'll get out of here when we're said and done. If it lands on your forehead, smack it real hard. All right, so this prayer thing needs to be heard in the home. And it's always good to teach our children to pray. Not just to pray over them, but to teach them to pray. And they need to know this verse right here, that every good thing and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. They need to know that everything we have is from God, and He needs all the glory, praise, and honor for it. Does not need to be given credit to any other fictional character or anybody else. God needs to give credit for it. And I heard my daughter say one time, we were praying and thank God for our food and thank God for this. And Ella said, well, I thought Daddy went to work and he got paid. And I said, hey, I wouldn't have nothing and I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for God. He deserves all the glory, the praise, and honor for every bit of that. And so that's something that needs to be taught to them. Not just that we pray in the home, but they need to be taught how to pray. And so I'm going to give an example of that here in just a second. And this is something that needs to be seen in the home. There's a, did you get it that time, brother? Are you just clapping? Amen. This thing is just going to take us down. Well, it can't hear anymore. That's we need to pray over this thing here. Praise the Lord.
They need Jesus too.
Yep. All right. There's an illustration given in here about a hog roots in the ground without ever looking up to say thanks to the one that's feeding it. And, we're no better than that if we don't give God the praise and glory for what he's given us in our life. And I'm telling you, we are better than a hog. Jesus Christ didn't come to die for a hog. He died for us. And I thank the Lord for it. And it's a very bold thing and a very arrogant thing for us not to pray and thank God for what he's given us. This is something that should be seen in our home. It should never even be thought of twice that should we do this or is it going to happen? It should be a habit in our home that we have prayer. And again, I know there's some in here that, their spouse might not be in church or whatever the case might be, but you do what you're supposed to do and you pray. Amen. And you pray with your children. You teach them. You pray for your grandchildren and all those things. But that needs to be seen in the home. Prayer needs to be seen. There's a quote in here that says, the family that prays together stays together. And there's an illustration also given in here of a pastor that had a couple in their church that was, they're on the brink of divorce, and he went over to their house and he was going to counsel with them. And what he did is he went in there and he sat the husband on this side, he sat the wife on this side, and he looked over at the husband and said, I don't want you to say one word. You let her say her piece. And don't say one thing, don't interrupt her, let her finish. And so she went on talking about how sorry he was and how lazy and good for nothing and he don't ever help with this and don't ever do that. And just went down all kind of, and when she finished, she said, Art, are you done? She said, yes. He said, now you don't say one word. Let him talk. And he went on to talk about, she nags all the time and complains about this and just goes on and on and on. And he stopped. He goes, okay, now we're all going to get on our knees right now, and I'm going to pray. They said, okay. So they all got on their knees, and he prayed. And then he said, all right, now what I want to do is I'm going to get up and I'm going to leave. They said, we asked you to come counsel us. He goes, I'm going to leave. And he said, I tell you what. I want y'all to take 5 minutes, and y'all just keep praying, and then I'll come back. All right? He got up, and he left. And they kept praying, and over an hour later, that lady called him crying, saying that when they started praying, they went from praying for the other person to asking God to forgive them for what they've done. And they had a prayer meeting for an hour and a half. They both showed up to church that next Sunday. She got right with God. He got saved. Amen. Amen. Prayer works. Amen. It is hard to argue and fight with somebody if you're praying for them. It's hard to. And that works with your enemy, but if your wife's your enemy that day, that's what it is. Or your husband or whatever it might be, you need to pray for them. And that's something that we need to do. Prayer can change, and it will change things. R.A. Torrey, y'all may have heard of him, says, prayer moves the hand that moves the universe. Therefore, prayer is omnipotent. Prayer should be seen in our home. It should be everywhere. Turn over to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Say, what should I pray for my family and my kids? There's a lot of Bible on prayer. There's a lot of scriptures and stuff, but I think this one right here is a good one. And my prayer for my children, my prayer for your children, is that they get saved at a young age and that they fall in love with Jesus. Amen. Do you get it that time? No? All right. Is that they get saved at a young age and fall in love with Jesus. Amen. I think that's a good prayer. Not just that they get saved, but that they fall in love with Jesus. We have a lot of people today that they might be saved and praise the Lord for it, but they're very worldly. And they're not in love with Jesus. If they were in love with Jesus, they'd be in love with His church and His Bible and spending time in prayer with Him. And so those things need to be, but it all starts with you praying for them. We need to build a wall of prayer around our family, our marriage, our home, our wives, our husbands. We need to build that wall of prayer. Colossians chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. All right, look at verse number 9. This is what Paul prayed for this church. And I think you could take this right here, and you could pray it over your family, and you'll be in good shape. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. This is still a continuation of the same paragraph there, or same verse. For by Him we are all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, and all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Amen. Now there's a period. There wasn't a period until that point. And you know what, Paul, he's telling them, he said, I'm praying for y'all that you get to know who God is. And then he went on bragging about them. And you know what he did? He wet their whistle about, man, I want to know this God more. I want to know Him like Paul knows Him. I want to appreciate what He's done. I think this is a prayer that you would not be doing any harm at all if you prayed something along these lines with your family and with your kids and with your wife and with your husband and with your grandkids, praying over them. We have to have prayer in the home. It needs to be seen in the home. Yeah, I think it's very important to have prayer in the home. I've jotted down here just a few little notes that prayer should consist of, number one, thanking God. You will never go wrong starting your prayer off with, thank you, Lord. And just thank Him for some things. I'm sure the Lord, you know, He doesn't get tired of hearing us talk to Him, but if the first thing you go to Him with is help me, help me, help me, I need, I need, I need, and you don't ever say thank you, amen. For some of y'all that, you know, got kids or you've raised kids or even grandkids, if they're constantly asking and they never say thank you, it grinds on your nerves. Amen. I know it grinds on my nerves. Every now and again it's nice just to, you know, have Ella or Elijah or Emma come climb up in my lap and kiss me on the cheek and just say, thank you, Daddy. It's like, yeah. What do you want? Whatever you want. Emma was asking for the credit card tonight. Was she not? She said, Daddy, can I have one? Amen. If she would have said thank you first, I might have given it to her. But, you know, every now and again, and God's the same. Man, you just brag on Him. When Paul started praying for this church, he went off on bragging on God. You thank Him and you worship Him. Prayer should consist of, number one, thanking God. Then number two, move on into praising Him. Amen. Just worship Him a little bit. And then number three, ask God. You plead whatever your case is, whatever it is you need, and He'll listen to it. And then you need to end your prayer with thanking God. Amen. Be thanking Him and giving Him the praise, the glory, and the honor. Every night, just for an example, and I'll give you this in closing. Every night, our family, we try to do family devotions and we pray. And like tonight after church, we'll go home. And since they had patched the pyre, we won't do a full devotion like we normally do. But we'll sit down and we'll talk to the kids about what they learned in Patch the Pyre tonight. I'll ask them what they learned and we'll talk to them about it. Every time you ask Emma what was it about, she'll say Jesus. That's all she says. It was about Jesus. And she figures if she says that, she's going to get close to something, you know. It was about Jesus. And, you know, so he'll tell us that, and we'll talk about that for a second, and then we'll, the other nights we actually do family devotions, and I'll get into that a little bit more when we talk about the Bible needs to be seen in the home, but we'll, we actually have a devotion book we do, and we'll go through it, or we'll read a couple verses and talk about it. We'll sing a song, and then our prayer time starts off with Ella praying. I say, Ella, you pray, and she'll pray. Now, when they first started, she didn't know how to pray, so I'd have her repeat after me. And I would say, thank you, Lord, for our church, and thank you for our missionaries, and thank you for Mom and Dad, and thank you for, you know. And then Elijah came along, and we taught her, you know, thank you for Elijah. And so, you know, we would teach her how to pray. If there's something special in her life she wanted, we'd teach her how to pray for it. And we did those things. And now today, from Elijah hearing Ella and Emma hearing them too, we didn't even have to teach Emma hardly anything. She gets up and goes, Lord, thank you for Mommy and Daddy, and thank you for Ella, and thank you for Elijah, thank you for Emma. And she goes through her prayer. Every now and again, Emma will go off track, and she'll pray for 20 minutes. I mean, she'll go over all kind of things. She thanked the Lord for her spanking the other night. I said, well, praise the Lord, maybe we need to do that. Thank God for my spanking. But she was thanking God for that and thanking God that, you know, she got to sit in my lap. And she went off just thanking God on things. Sarah started crying and laughing because it was funny. But crying at the same time saying, praise the Lord. You know, I want her to get raised up on this. And so we'll go through. Ella will pray, then Elijah will pray, then Emma will pray. And then Sarah will pray, and then I'll pray. And we try to do that every single night. Now, there's nights I'm not home. Sarah does it anyway. There's nights, like she was out the other night getting some stuff for this supper, and I put the kids to bed, and I made sure to pray with every one of them before we went to bed. And that was instilled in me when I was younger. I remember walking the halls of the house we used to live in, and I remember my mom praying for me in her bed. I could hear her on her knees praying. As a teenager, praying, Lord, if he does anything stupid, would you please catch him? And I'm like, no, Lord, don't do that. You know, but I remember her praying that. And that made an impact in me. I mean, the decisions I made and things like that. But I heard them praying over us. And growing up, we used to have devotions. We were homeschooled, so we'd have devotions before we started school, and we'd always start with a time of prayer. And I thank God that I've been around that and learned that. But prayer is a very, very important thing. And one reason we try to have prayer on Wednesday nights, I don't want it to be just something we do. I want us to pray as a church. We need God, and we need Him to help us with these things. So prayer should be seen in our home. Amen. All right, let's all stand. Are y'all going to try to have choir practice tonight? Okay. It's right there in that box. All right, Brother Johnny, if you would, pray, brother, and dismiss us. And
Lord, thank you for this day, and thank you for your many blessings, Lord. Lord, we thank you for your word, Lord. Yes. We thank you for your son that died on the cross for our sins, Lord, and for our salvation. And Lord, just be with us as we go a long ways tonight. In Jesus' name.
Amen. I felt it.
Thank you. let's go.
I want to be a cheerleader. Am I a cheerleader?
Aw, you'd be a pretty cheerleader.
Huh?
You'd be a pretty cheerleader. Plus a bell.
Going to this men's meeting, guess what I'm meeting? Missing prom.
Huh?
I'm missing prom.
Why?
Well, first off, my dad wouldn't let me go. I'm not going to ask. Second off, if I wasn't going to go, I'd have to go spend the night with my grandparents. You know? You know? And third off, he wouldn't let me miss the men's meeting, so it's like,
that'd be okay.
But she still got band prom. I mean, I doubt that's not near as big of a deal as everyone.
Prom's a big deal.
She's a junior,
well,
though.
It's really overrated.
She's a junior, though, so she still got her senior. You know, that helps. Huh?
Yeah.
You think so, really?
Yeah. It's really overrated, though. Philip and I, like, stay 10 minutes and left.
I thought he was prom king.
No! He was a dork.
He never got voted prom king.
He was not no prom king. He tell you that?
You said you were prom king.
Prom king? No, I'm a prom king. You love him.
You got voted prom king.
No, I was a prom king. I didn't get an election card.
Did you think he was prom king? Why? Am I the only one that believes so?
Because you're very
what
gullible.
You, what you think I'm working late like tomorrow? They like me. Yeah, but I want to get them to the door.
Huh?
You didn't write it down.
No, let's do that one. Phil, banana. Phil, banana. Phil, banana.
Get
And they're chasing the pointer. Ella, help. Let me try. Can I try? No. Why is that?
Everybody get the paper.
I have a lot of paper.
But
Yeah.
Stand by me.
Thank you.
It's good to me.
There's two in here.
I touched it.
Or maybe it's too high.
Okay, let's watch it.
I almost found it.
It's on the speaker.
Is it on the speaker?
It's on the speaker.
It's on the speaker. Is it in Mr. Horse?
Exactly, the brothers are supposed to sing to the sisters. Yeah, huh? That's how it works. That's how it works.
That's how it works. That works.
Yeah, that's on. That's how my truth
works. I don't know.
Okay. Like, you sing with the sisters.
All right.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, is everybody singing the first one?
Cody. sister sing the first verse?
Yes. The fly's right there.
Don't.
It's not going to find no fly. It's not going to bite you.
All of us are singing the first verse. Boys are singing the second. Girls are singing the third. And everybody in the fourth. And we're going to have a little, in between every verse, there's going to just be a little turnaround, and we don't sing any different breath, right? All right, so we're going to start over. And boys and girls do the part.
Yeah. Okay, it's on. It's on.
We good?
It's the microphone.
All right.
Elijah, you have to come sit down like I told you.
All right.